Pastor Ray Bentley explains the surprising way God provided for the Israelites in the desert through manna.
Moses has told them, God is going to do a miracle for you. He's going to provide for you. Bread from heaven is going to rain down. Literally, God's going to feed you. And you're going to see that God is glorified. This manna is mysterious stuff. In the book of Psalms, it says they ate angels' food.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God can provide for his people any way he chooses. But several times in Scripture, we see God chose the pathway of the miraculous. Today, we examine one of those accounts, and we'll consider the Israelites' reaction to this miraculous provision. Good lessons to be learned. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 16, the story of the bread that rained down from heaven and sustained the Jewish people for 40 years. We're going to look at this miracle, our daily bread. All right, so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 16, and they journeyed from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. I wanted to say that I used to pronounce it the wilderness of sin, and I would always wonder, why did they bring him to the wilderness of sin? But it's not the same word as sin. It's pronounced seen, and it's a root word literally from Sinai, the Sinai Mountains, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So where we've come to now, it's, about 45 days in. So when you realize they're going to be in the wilderness 40 years, they've barely begun the journey. And so they're hungry. And they're, how hungry were they? They were so hungry, they had a really bad attitude. And they start blaming Moses and Aaron, and they're so hungry, they say, "We wish we were still in Egypt being beaten as slaves. In fact, we'd rather die in Egypt. Because at least in Egypt, we had a nice meal. We had a full stomach." Have you ever noticed that when you're hungry, some people can get very grouchy? Now, I'm not talking about you, of course, but you may know someone who gets very grouchy when they get hungry. I am one. And I will never forget a vacation. I was just thinking of this weekend, because this is what's happening. You got 3 million people, and they got the glory. They have the Red Sea that God's open. They have the cloud where they can see God is leading them, but they're so hungry they lose it. They're just blaming Moses, and really their complaint is not against Moses and Aaron. They're really complaining against God because they're so hungry. And So within my family, I have been known that when Dad is grouchy and turns into a bear, he needs food. And the same thing, can happen, with kids. I remember we were on this trip, Annie was maybe 12 and Daniel's like 10 or almost 11. And we had this new, Ford Aerostar van, and so Vicky has family in Seattle. I have some family in Oregon, and we were going to go on a driving vacation with the family. I was so excited, man! I couldn't wait, and I got all these sunset magazines. I'm looking at all the pictures. I'm mapping out where we're going to stop. We're going to be driving by the palm trees and 101, the freeway by the ocean, and then visiting family and all these cool things. And man, we started off, I got the music going, woo, you know, we're going. And, you know, if you've ever been on a long, you know, traveling trip, and then all of a sudden things start going bad. You hit traffic. Everything starts slowing down. It's getting hot. You're rolling the windows down. And, you know, Vicky keeps turning around because, you know, brother and sister are fighting and they're arguing and the car is getting filled with a little bit of tension. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking in my rearview mirror. How many parents have ever seen this? I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I'm seeing my son and daughter, but it's not really my son and daughter because their heads are spinning in 360 degrees. Green stuff is spewing out. They're fighting. It's like, what in the world? And then dad loses it, you know, I lose, that's it, you know, and you pull over real fast, you know, stop, you know, what in the world is going on? So anyway, in those times, what does Vicky do? She doesn't try to argue, she just puts a Snickers up in front of my eyes. Because that's the solution sometimes. It's a lot like manna. Sweet to the taste, kind of, you know, I think that God gave them Snickers bars through the whole wilderness, without the wrapper. And so, you know, that's what was kind of going on. And it's just totally, and that was, by the way, we hadn't even reached Los Angeles. So we had a long, 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 long way to go. Well, that's kind of what's happening here with the children of Israel. Their heads are spinning and it's going south and they're yelling at Moses and Aaron and we're hungry and you brought us out here to kill us. It's amazing how quickly, when you're hungry, you forget, you know, the past. And we have a tendency, what this shows is laughable, but we too have a tendency to romanticize the past. Even in our Christian lives, sometimes, you know, yeah, you get saved, you have this honeymoon period, everything's awesome, the sky is bluer, the clouds look like heavenly clouds, and you're filled with the Spirit, and you're singing, and then you start hitting trials, and you go, this is it, this is the Christian life, what in the world? Spiritual warfare, you got an enemy, you got all these things you need to learn, and you're just going, ah! And you start dreaming, and you think, I was happier back before I was saved, what's going on? But the thing is, just like the children of Israel, they forgot the pain. They forgot the sorrow. They forgot the emptiness. They forgot the anguish. They forgot the depression. So also it can happen in a Christian's life. You forget, you romanticize, man, when I was in the world, I could live like I wanted. I was happy. Wait a second. Why did you become a Christian in the first place? What was it that drove you to the altar and drove you to the foot of the cross? To get that load and that guilt, you know, we have a tendency to forget. So look with me in verses 4 and 5. Here's the children, literally the children, because when we murmur and complain, we are really revealing our immaturity. So here's how does the Lord respond to murmuring and complaining? Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them. Now, I'm going to give you bread. It's going to come from heaven so they know that it's from me, the Lord says. But I'm going to test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And then it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Because I don't want you to gather on the Sabbath. So I'll give you twice as much on the sixth day so you can really rest and relax. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your complaints against the Lord. And notice Moses says, you're not complaining against us. You're complaining against him. And he hears what you're saying about him. But what are we that you complain against us? Moses is saying, what's Aaron? What am I? Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning, bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. And then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints about him. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now in this, again, Moses reminds them, your complaint is against the Lord. The Lord hears it, and he's going to answer you. He's going to give you bread from heaven, but he is testing you. And I want to just say here, why does God do this? Why does God allow us to go through the hunger where we cry out and then we complain and then he gives us, you know, the divine provision? God brings us to places, and all of us right now are probably in an area where we are being tested. Now, your area of being tested may be different from someone else's area, but we're all being tested right now. And God is sitting back, watching, observing, wondering how you are going to respond. Why does God do that? It is because he is interested in you growing deeper in him, just like children. But the only way we grow is, we don't grow because of all the blessings. We enjoy the blessings. We grow when we are tested. So I just want to say that godliness, true godly character, is not the result of reading a bunch of religious books, though that's a wonderful thing to do, or attending a bunch of seminars and growing in a lot more head knowledge. Real growth spiritually in character comes and involves bearing burdens. Amen. When you bear burdens and then you go, Lord, I can't bear this. It's too much for me. He says, I know. I was wondering how long you would carry it on your own. Why don't you cast it on me and let me carry it? Oh, Lord, I forgot. I cast all my cares upon you and I am free. That deepens your character. Because you learn not only personally how to do that, but then you begin observing your brothers and sisters who are carrying the burdens. You see it on their faces and you say, hey, brother, I see you're carrying a burden. Let's pray and cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. And we teach others and we grow in that way. We also have to realize we're in a spiritual battle. We have to learn how to fight spiritual warfare. And if you've never, you know, baby Christians often, they live in this cocoon where they just think, you know, everything's wonderful and God just blesses me because he loves me all the time. Well, you find out you have an enemy and he's against you and he's trying to distract you and tear you down. And you have to learn how to fight spiritual warfare. You need to know your identity in Christ. Then you need to know your authority in Christ. Then you have to actually take the authority so that he blesses and goes before you. So we have to learn to fight spiritual battles. And we also are allowed by God to feel a certain measure of pain. You and I will never go to the measure of pain and suffering that Jesus went to on the cross. God has limited what you will experience in your life because he knows you. And each one of us is different. You have your own cup of suffering that has been measured by the Lord, and he wants you to feel enough that you empathize and you identify with Jesus who suffered how much more for you. But it deepens your faith and your confidence, and you have to send your roots down deeper to another level than you've ever gone before when you are suffering physical pain. And yet trusting that the Lord is with me. This is all part of God's purpose. This is all part of God's plan. This is the normal Christian life. Look with me in verse 10. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now the cloud was there all the time. It was leading them. When the cloud moved, the children of Israel would move forward. When the cloud stayed for a few days, they would stay. But Moses has told them, God is going to do a miracle for you. He's going to provide for you. Bread from heaven is going to rain down. Literally, God's going to feed you. And you're going to see that God is glorified. So they saw the cloud. They'd always seen the cloud, but now they all look at the cloud. Something is happening in the midst of the cloud. We're not told exactly what it was. But there was a manifestation, a deeper, greater manifestation of God's power and presence. An inkling might be when they get to Mount Sinai, where God took Moses up on the mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments. Yes, the cloud was on top of the mountain at that point. But in the middle of the cloud was flashes of thunder. There was lightning flashes. There was thunder, there was like an earthquake, the ground shook, the people, they knew the fear of the Lord, and Moses had disappeared into the cloud, all these manifestations of the glory of God. It may have been something like that, where there was flashes of lightning and thunder and the whirr of the sound of millions of angels around the presence of the glory of God and the ground shaking beneath them. It was an awesome sight. And I want to remind you, one of these days, God is going to manifest his power and flash his glory in the clouds above us. Through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and Revelation 1:7 says, and every eye shall see him, and with 10,000 times 10,000s of his saints and myriads of angels, and the kingdom of heaven shall come to the earth, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a glorious day, amen? It's going to be awesome. So be looking. Now, go back with me to verse 11, and we're going to read this next section about manna, the manna. It's mysterious stuff, this manna. We read in verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Every time God provides for you, he's saying, I want you to know I'm your dad, I'm your father, I am your God, I am your Lord, I will prepare the way, I will bless you, I will protect you. And so verse 13, it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. I'm serious. They looked at it. They'd never seen it in their lives. And they said, what is it? Do you know, if you translate what is it into Hebrew, it's manna. Manna. What's that? That's what manna means. And they never changed the name of it. They just called it, what is that? The whole for 40 years. I think that's hilarious. What is it? I don't know. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered. Now listen, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. So different size people, different stature, different, you know, hunger. Each one gathered as much as they thought would feed them for the day. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it till the morning. Oh, I'm going to save up. And it bred worms and stank. You couldn't hoard it. And Moses was angry with them. And so they gathered every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. It literally vanished or disappeared. This manna is mysterious stuff. In the book of Psalms, it says they ate angels' food. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul understood manna as representing spiritual food, symbolizing our feeding, as it were, on the life of Jesus Christ himself. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:3, they all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank of the same spiritual drink. In other words, manna is a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus, our living manna, or the living bread in the New Testament. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about all the similarities between manna in this amazing story and how it's fulfilled in Jesus. I've given you just four quick ones. Number one, just as manna descends from heaven, so Jesus has come down from heaven with the Father saying, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So that's a great picture. Number two, just as manna physically nourished Israel, so Jesus spiritually nourishes us. It, you know, the manna fed their bodies, but Jesus feeds our soul. Jesus said, he who comes to me shall never hunger. There's a greater hunger than physical hunger, and that's the hunger of the soul. And nothing in the world can satisfy the inner hunger except Jesus. Number three, just as manna cannot be hoarded. You know, if you tried to stock, maybe for a rainy day, it would melt, and then worms would get, it would just, get wasted. Just as manna had to be gathered daily, so Jesus ministers to us his word daily as we come to him. And then number four, just as manna filled their stomach. And you know, after you've had a really, really good meal, you just kind of relax and you're just kind of, I feel so good. And you're laughing, you have conversation, you're sitting around family with friends, you're telling stories, you have this peace. So also Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, when Jesus ministers to you personally, from his own word and from his own promises. And then again, notice in verse 21, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. This is the importance of daily bread. I want to encourage all of you that this is not for the, pastors only, ministers only, missionaries only, the leadership only. This is for all tribes. This is for all the people daily to spend time with the Lord in his word. It's to be daily, okay? You cannot live on yesterday's nourishment. I've seen many Christians that, they get excited in the beginning, they get saved, they start evangelizing, they go to church and meetings and Bible studies and concerts, and they're just, and then little by little, they go, I don't have to go to every Bible study. I don't have to go to every concert. I don't have to read the Bible every day. I don't have to go to church all the time, little by little. And then the next thing you know, they're out on their own. Yes, I'm still saved. Yes, I know Jesus, but, and they've kind of lost that. And they think, well, I got so much when I was younger, that'll do me the rest of my life. It doesn't work that way. Manna cannot be hoarded. The nourishment you received yesterday will not nourish you for today, let alone prepare you for what's coming tomorrow. Jesus wants to teach us, as his disciples, the same lesson. That's why he taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need daily to receive our earthly bread, physical bread, to nourish our bodies, but we need daily the spiritual bread as well.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good insight on what we're to learn from this account of the manna in the wilderness. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Our Daily Bread. And we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is Our Daily Bread. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Exodus on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Much of the Bible is history. Prophecy, however, is a glimpse of the future. It's imperative we have a clear, comprehensive understanding of what's to come and how we can be prepared. Well, Pastor Ray offers that in his new book, The Holy Land Key.
All of the signs, all of the seasons, all of the patterns are converging, and I believe that the next few years are going to be some of the most exciting times that we've ever lived through. Challenging, also revealing. And God is going to be glorified. He's ready to pour out his spirit. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is on the way. And I can't wait for you to read and to hear more about it and get excited for the return of Christ.
Jerry Jenkins, author of the Left Behind series, says Ray Bentley has immersed himself in the land of the book and the people of the land. His challenge to not only study prophecy, but also to live it, rings with the clarity of a bell. He makes an ancient subject come alive. And I found this book riveting and convicting and moving. Get your copy of The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorRayBentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Exodus. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.